The most delightfully fascinating character in the realms of mystery, Earl Derbigger's Charlie Chan. Aboard the SS Lacronia, on her last 8 trips, there have been 7 murders. These murders have occurred in Cabin 15, and in desperation, Captain Peterson, the vessel's commander, has asked for Honolulu's famous detective, Charlie Chan, to sail from San Francisco to Honolulu aboard the ship in the hopes that the island detective can solve the mystery. Charlie Chan cancels his passage aboard the Malolo and sails on the mystery ship. He asks to be given the murder cabin, number 15. And Butler, the passenger occupying number 13, shows Inspector Chan to his cabin. In the morning, Butler is found murdered, and it develops that someone had changed the numbers on the cabin doors, and that Inspector Chan had actually spent the night in cabin 13, while Butler, the murdered man, had occupied the fatal 15. Charlie Chan points the connection between this murder and the others, while the purser and several of the passengers, horrified at the tragedy, stand looking in through the broken cabin door.
The manner in which Mr. Butler has met death is similar to other persons who have been killed.
Yes, one single blow on the head.
Cabin door has likewise been locked on inside.
Not every time, no.
Perhaps you had better notify Captain Peterson and the ship's doctor.
Go on across to the captain, Nelson.
Yes, sir.
No weapon, that is, as has been the case in previous murder.
Yes, Mr. Chan. What beats me is, how can anyone lock the door on the inside and then get out?
It is really immaterial to the solution of case. Locking door is a mechanical thing. It presents problem, which, if you permit your mind to dwell upon it, prevents you from following real clue. Essential clue, to borrow saying from Scotland Yard.
Well, I can't see anything in the way of a clue, not a thing. The body lying right beside the bunk, just as if he'd been struck down as he got up.
That in itself will be clue, once ship's doctor has determined probable time of death.
Well, what's all the excitement here? Butler... Butler killed? Oh, where's the captain? I demand to see the captain at once.
Well, here I am, Dr. Fabrata. What do you wish?
Well, I demand that you turn this ship around and take us back to San Francisco, where we can engage passage on another vessel. Why, our lives aren't worth anything on this ship. You're negligent in your duty as captain, permitting your passengers to be killed this way. This is the second one in my party. My party? Well, my reputation will be ruined. I'll never be able to get another tourist to sign for one of my cruises.
My dear doctor, this affair is in the hands of...
Oh, no, don't, dear doctor, me. I won't have it, I tell you. No, I demand, yes, demand that you return us to San Francisco.
Dr. Fairbrother, I am prepared to make some allowances for your temperamental nature, your outbursts, but you go too far.
Oh, too far? You can talk of too far with negligence and carelessness.
Doctor, silence, or I'll have you clapped in irons.
Oh, you'll have me clapped in irons. Why, you wouldn't dare.
Mr. Purser, have the ship's police place the doctor in the brig.
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, well, perhaps maybe I was a bit hasty.
Are you prepared to hold your tongue?
Oh, well, you see, I have responsibility.
Are you ready to hold your tongue?
Oh, yes.
Pass there, Mr. Purser, on that order.
Yes, sir.
Well, Mr. Chan, what do you make of it?
I can explain that more fully, Captain Peterson, when I determine who it was, change the numbers on the cabin door.
I can tell you that.
And who are you?
Mr. Wheatley, Inspector Chan, Honolulu Police.
You can tell me who changed these numbers?
Yes, Butler himself.
The murdered man?
No one else. I helped him. He said he wanted to play a joke on the purser. He said he'd ask the purser to let him have cabin 15, and the purser refused, so he was going to do it anyway. I agreed it was a good joke. Realized now, of course, that it wasn't, but...
Is that correct, Mr. Purser? That Butler did ask you to allow him to occupy cabin 15?
Yes, Mr. Chan. He asked me yesterday at lunchtime. Said that he'd like to spend one night in the haunted cabin.
That's what he said to me. I said I'd stay with him, but he said no. Anyway, we got a screwdriver and unscrewed the 5 from the door and changed it with the 3 on the next cabin.
So that when Mr. Butler accompanied me to cabin last night, he was well aware that he was guiding me to wrong cabin?
Sure thing, Mr. Chan.
That's a swell story, Wheatley, and nobody to back it up.
What do you mean, Seward?
Oh, do I have to explain? No one else needs any, I'll bet. First, you lose about $300 to Jacobs. Then Jacobs is found murdered. Is the money found?
Wait.
No, it isn't. Because you hid it in the cabin. You went to get it last night and found Butler there. That interfered with your scheme, so you killed him.
Please, Mr. Seward, these are serious accusations. Permit, if you will be so kind, to allow detectives to indulge in building of theoretical cases.
Is there any law preventing me, a privateer, from building my theories?
Not at all, Mr. Seward, providing you keep them to yourself. But there is libel law which prevents you from voicing them with too much vehemence.
I'm right, I tell you. I've been watching Wheatley.
What reason have you, Mr. Seward, for hating Mr. Wheatley with such hatred that you would be willing to see him convicted of murder?
Reason for hating him? Well, I haven't any reason
for... Yes, you have, and I think it was a contemptible thing to do.
Betty, you stay out of this.
Please, Miss Calder, please don't say anything.
I will. I won't have my friends treated that way. Mr. Chan.
Yes, Miss Calder?
I don't want any misunderstanding. I was engaged to Mr. Seward.
Was engaged? You are engaged.
No. I'm sorry to have to do this in front of everyone, but you attacked Mr. Wheatley before these people, so I feel justified. As I said, Mr. Chan, I was engaged to Mr. Seward. I told him that if he didn't stop frequenting the cocktail lounge, I would break off our engagement. Mr. Seward seemed to prefer the cocktail lounge to my company.
Well, that isn't true. I could never find you. You were always with Wheatley.
Mr. Wheatley and I found much in common. I found an interest in Mr. Wheatley's conversation I couldn't find in your cocktails. As I said, Mr. Chan, I feel very badly over having to make this public explanation, but I couldn't see Mr. Wheatley suffer for something which was not of his choosing.
You have my sympathy, Miss Coulter, as well as my admiration. Person who comes boldly forth and speaks truth at proper time will never lack for real friends. Captain Peterson.
Yes, Mr. Chan?
I should like, if it is not too much trouble, to go over passenger list with you and Purser at earliest convenience.
In my cabin, any time, Mr. Chan.
Then at once, if you will be so kind. Also, have ship's doctor report to me as soon as he has made examination.
Certainly, Mr. Chan.
Thank you so much. I follow you to your cabin.
You, Dr. Fairbrother, can explain to your round-the-world party that Mr. Butler lost his life through his own idea of a practical joke. Inspector Chan was to have occupied that cabin, and somehow, I can't be certain, but I think, if your Mr. Butler hadn't interfered, we'd have had that murder in irons by now. If you'll be as voluble in explaining that to your friends as you were in denouncing the captain, we'll appreciate it.
There you are, Mr. Chan. Passenger list on the table.
Thank you so much.
Well, not much in the way of clues to be found in that cabin, was there, Inspector?
Perhaps. Who knows? I noted something very strange.
What was there, Mr. Chan?
Dead. While bedclothes have been turned back, bed has not been slept in.
Yes, I did notice that. But if he were killed last night before he went to bed...
But he was not killed last night.
How can you tell that until the doctor examines him?
Purser was first to enter cabin. Did you, Purser, switch off lights?
Why, no. No, of course not.
Murderer, I am certain, did not trouble to turn them up. And murdered man did not retire last night in total darkness. Therefore, we are forced to accept belief that murdered man switched them out himself.
But he would switch them out before he went to bed.
You forget, he did not go to bed. Did he then sit up all night and in dark? I think not. No, he was murdered after daylight.
Come in.
Beg pardon, sir.
But I thought I'd better report something, sir.
Yes, Nelson?
One of my Stilson wrenches is missing, sir. I was using it last night on the starboard winch, sir. Guess I left it there on the hatch. Gone this morning, sir.
A heavy wrench, Nelson?
Oh, fairly so, sir. An 18-inch wrench, sir.
Yes, an 18-inch pipe wrench. It would make a good weapon. Just such a weapon as would inflict a wound similar to the wound which caused Butler's death.
Just what I thought, sir.
Yes.
Come in.
Ah, Miss Coulter, you have further information for us?
Yes, Mr. Chan, I hate to be a talebearer, but murder... Oh, well, I couldn't sleep, so I got up early. And as I was looking out my port, something heavy, like an iron bar, whizzed past my porthole and splashed into the water.
It came from above you, naturally?
Yes, above and to the right. Forward, I believe you call it. I looked up as well as one can through a porthole.
Yes, yes. You looked up and saw other person likewise looking from porthole?
Yes. Dr. Fairbrother.
Dr. Fairbrother. That's right.
What is right, Nelson?
Beg pardon, sir, but Dr. Fairbrother's cabin is right in front of the hatch where I left the pipe wrench.
So, suspicion points its ugly finger at the doctor. But what of Seward's attempt to implicate Wheatley? Is there more behind that than jealousy? We'll have to leave that to Inspector Chan. After you've heard from your sponsor, Inspector Chan will be with us again. What do you have for us this evening?
I have been thinking of efforts of various passengers to cast suspicion one upon the other.
Yes, Mr. Chan?
Ancient Chinese emperor, upon being told by one of his ministers that another minister was suspected of appropriating funds to his own use, remarked, "Suspicion is the unnecessary and heavy burden of the suspicious. To suspect another is but to admit that you yourself are not unfamiliar with the powers of deceit."
Very true indeed, Mr. Chan. Thank you, and good night.